mornings. I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, May is Preservation Month, and the Hancock Historical Museum has a workshop planned to help owners care for their historic buildings. Sarah Foltz will tell us what's happening. Also this morning, the cost of medical care is a rapidly increasing part of many people's overall financial picture, making it an essential component of Financial Literacy Awareness Month. We have some helpful advice on how to keep those costs in check. And happening around town, the return of warm weather means car shows are back. The first to talk about this season is the Van Buren FFA's Car and Tractor Show happening this weekend. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Wednesday, April 30th, 2025. So we're starting to see the impact of tariffs trickling down to the consumer level. One of the big stories that made headlines yesterday, there was a report that Amazon was considering adding a line item at checkout to tell customers just how much of what they were paying was going toward was because of tariffs, not going toward tariffs, but it was because of tariffs, kind of a before and after price, basically. And they would line out the difference. And the Trump administration, not too happy with that report. And they the president called Jeff Bezos and said, "What are you doing, man?" And Amazon then clarified that they were only planning to do that on their deep discount version of their website, which I didn't even realize there was a deep discount version of Amazon out there. But anyway, so it turned out to be a big fat lot of nothing on this story. However, the Temu app, which is the Chinese app that Amazon deep discount app competes with, Temu and Shein, those popular, they're basically like dollar stores for the e-commerce world, Temu and Shein, if you've never heard of these platforms. They're kind of like, they are to online shopping. Now, Temu is to Amazon as, you know, Dollar General is to Walmart. You kind of give you that idea. Anyway, so the Temu app, which is based in China, by the way, is passing on the import tariffs to its customers in the U.S., and they now have added a line item that shows how much the tariffs impact the price that you pay. For example, a power strip that was sold on Temu for $19.49 now has added an import charge, is what they're calling it, of $27.56 as of Monday. So it's a separate line item in the total. Lots of items on the site are now more than double what they used to be now that the import charge is added. Shein also appears to have raised prices for its U.S. customers, but I don't believe that they have added a separate line to show customers, show buyers, just how much extra they are paying. But it is, again, just a sign that they're doing what they can to tell customers, basically, hey, it's not us that are jacking up the prices. It's because of these tariffs that consumers are spending more. How consumers react to that remains to be seen, but it's kind of interesting the way this is all now starting to trickle down to the consumer level. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Get your midweek Wednesday started. Starbucks has opened a new type of store in South Texas. It is their first 3D printed location. And it opened in Brownsville on Monday. A big 3D printing machine made the panels for the outer shell of the store. They used a concrete-like material, and they basically printed the panel, put that into place, and then put the windows, doors, and other features onto the, but the whole building, the outer shell of the building, was printed using a 3D printer. Now, the story goes on to say that the store is about 1,400 square feet. It has no indoor seating, so it's one of those drive-through and mobile order pickup locations. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not sure that I would want to go in and sit down anyway, you know? Would you trust it? Would you really want to go in and sit down inside the store that was created with a 3D printer using a concrete-like material? I don't know. I don't know that I would be all that comfortable. So I'm thinking that may be a good idea that they don't have an indoor seating section on that. But I guess it's the wave of the future, and it's more cost efficient and it's quicker to build these stores from what they say. It's kind of like the new prefab. Let's see. A couple of other items here that I saw on the newswire, and I thought, interesting stuff. A recent study has discovered that female athletes may have a hidden advantage when it comes to endurance, especially in extremely cold conditions. So this would be very helpful for winter sports, think skiing and things like that. During the Alaska Mountain Wilderness Ski Classic, researchers tracked 20 participants as they braved freezing temperatures, sub-freezing temperatures, really sub-freezing temperatures, all the way down to nearly minus 33 degrees. And women's bodies, what they found from this, and it was a limited study, only 20 participants, but women's bodies seemed to be more efficient when it came to energy expenditure. The researchers in their findings write, quote, "Our observation is congruent with those that show women to be potentially more resistant to performance fatigability," unquote. In other words, that's basically a scientific way of saying that the guys are just big babies when it comes to the cold weather. I am. I will not. I'm a big baby when it comes to the cold weather. Yeah. I'm glad it's over. So. I'll admit it. I'm not ashamed. I'm not too proud to admit that I'm a big baby when it comes to the cold. I'm not sure if I buy this. It is a new ranking. I love lists. I love rankings and the way they put our seemingly chaotic life into some sort of order. But I'm not sure that I agree with this one. The company OxyFresh, you know, OxyFresh, the product, air freshener and, that kind of thing. They have released a ranking of the cleanest cities in the country. The cleanest cities in the country, okay? Portland, Oregon, ranked number one. In the study, they examined several factors, including population density, air and drinking water quality, problems with rodents and cockroaches, and litter and or vandalism. So those are the various categories. Portland, Oregon actually scored poorly on the litter and vandalism category, but made up for it with air and drinking water quality. So they come in overall at number one. Seattle ranks second, followed by Rochester, New York, Detroit, Michigan, and Minneapolis, St. Paul. Those were the top five cleanest cities in the country. At the bottom of the list, keeping in mind that the list only goes down to number 35, so, wasn't every city in the country. But at the bottom of the list, Washington, D.C., Houston, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, and New York City are the last down to number 35. And two Ohio cities made the list of the cleanest in the country. Cleveland at number 20 and Cincinnati at number 27. Let me tell you, anybody who thinks that Detroit is 16 times cleaner, 16 spots cleaner than Cleveland, you're out of your mind. What is that? I'm not sure that I buy that Detroit is number four on that list overall. I'm not sure I'm buying it, but that's what they say. Okay. And lastly here, among the first things you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, this is prom season. I know that. My kids are older than that. They don't go to prom anymore, obviously. They don't have kids in high school, but I know it's prom season because I'm seeing everybody's prom pictures start to propagate my Facebook feed. All of my friends who do have kids in high school are now posting all of their prom pictures. But anyway, it's prom season. And for those who need a ride to the big night, Uber is offering free rides for up to $20, where teens can reserve two free rides up to 90 days in advance to and from their prom. Rides must be booked by May 31st, but they can take place after that date. I think in this area, you know, May 31st, the proms are, you know, over. It's, heck, graduation, school's out by then. But I guess in some places there might be later proms. But anyway, for prom season, you can book two rides to and from prom for $20, and teens can reserve those up to 90 days in advance. With Uber Teen accounts, they're promoting their Uber Teen accounts. The company says, we're giving kids the freedom to celebrate their big night on their own terms while giving parents peace of mind. To seize the deal, students will need to create an Uber Teen account. So you see what they're doing there. But I gotta say, at least in my day, I mean, is that really that much better than, you know, like mom and dad driving you to the prom? If you got to take an Uber to prom, I'm not sure that I would want to do that. You know what I mean? I don't know that I would want to take an Uber to prom, but hey, you do you, guys. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. It'll be partly sunny today with a high in the middle 60s, becoming cloudy tonight, low in the 50s. The city of Findlay says it recently completed phase one of a two-phase replacement project for its outdoor warning sirens, replacing eight of the 16 sirens with new upgraded systems. The other eight sirens are fully operational and scheduled for replacement in the future. As you may have heard, following the installation, five of the eight newly installed sirens inadvertently activated without cause last Friday night. In response, the city's internal team, along with contractors responsible for the installation, conducted a thorough evaluation of the equipment. The city says all systems and the new sirens have been reset, tested, and are verified to be operating properly. City emphasizes that any activation of its outdoor warning sirens should be treated as an actual emergency. Get more in the story on our website. Some drivers will have to take a different route today as a road will be closed for repairs. The city of Findlay says South Main Street from Township Road 145 to State Route 15 will be closed for road repairs. Get more on this and other road construction projects in the area in this story on our website. A new report is casting doubt on the Browns' proposal for a dome stadium in Brook Park.
The Ohio Legislative Service Commission found the team's projection of 1.5 million new visitors and more than $1 billion in annual economic impact may be, quote, overly optimistic. The study also questions the constitutionality of the $600 million in state-backed bonds for the project. If the funding is not approved by June 30th, team owner Jimmy Haslam has said he would renovate the existing stadium instead.
ONN's Danita Harris reporting. The Flag City Sluggers of the Great Lakes Summer Collegiate Baseball League say they're in need of a few more host families as they make final season preparations. Get more details in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
Well, of course, as you know, every month we have Sarah Foltz with us in the studio to talk about what's happening at the Hancock Historical Museum. We've got a few things to talk about, some of the regular events, but want to highlight something that is coming up on Monday, because The month of May is Preservation Month, and you have a special program slash workshop on the schedule to help owners of historic buildings care for those pieces of history that they're entrusted with. So I think this is really cool. Yeah.
Yes, we are so excited. You know, every year we kind of think of how do we want to celebrate Preservation Month. Mm-hmm. Last year we highlighted some of the property owners who are successfully preserving structures here in Hancock County. And this year we're providing an educational resource completely free. Mm-hmm. Monday night, 6 o'clock. Show up, whether you own a historic home, a historic building, if you're interested or you think, you know, you might want to in the future. This is a great kind of broad overview.
And that, I think, was really the neat part, because how many times have, I think, all of us seen a historic home or a historic building either being in the process of renovating, or maybe it comes or being renovated, or it comes on the market, and you think, wouldn't that be really cool to be able to take that and bring it back to its former glory? And certainly we are blessed in this community to have many people who have done that with a lot of buildings. But there are always more, and that's kind of an ongoing conversation in the community is, you know, preservation of historic buildings. Every time one disappears, you know you're never getting it back. So.
Exactly. And there's something to be said about being able, whether you're living or opening a business in a building, that you feel like you're sharing the space with so many memories prior. And, you know, even right now in Findlay, there are several historic structures for sale right now.
Yeah.
But I can understand, and I live in a house that's over 100 years old myself, it is daunting and a little scary to kind of dip your toe in to open a business or to live in a house or building that you think, well, how am I going to be prepared to make sure I take care of this structure?
Yeah.
And so this is going to be really cool because David Mertz, he's the former director of the Building Preservation and Restoration Program at Belmont College, and he is going to make it very palatable and just give you that easy way to dip your toe in and better understand, better prepare, or think about the current know, property you have and how you can better take care of it.
Because you don't know what you don't know.
Yep.
And it's a good point that you make, too, that you may be living in your family's home that they've owned for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't think of it as a historic home, but over the years, it will become a historic home.
Yes, you're part of that story.
And this is good information about some of those things that will start to become issues, perhaps, or things that you have to think about when caring for or maintaining those homes.
Right. So. Our ultimate goal here is to make it a little bit less daunting and really see, you know, okay, I can do this.
Yeah. I would imagine there are some challenges that go above just, you know, cleaning the gutters and, you know, things like that that go along with owning.
Yep. He'll be like talking a little bit about like water infiltration and, you know, what we can do.
Gotta be a big one.
Yes.
Yeah. Especially in this community.
Right. Right. Yeah. Although I will say, I get water in my basement and it is getting better.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're working on it, but but that certainly can be one of the big ones, and a lot of other things that homeowners and historic building owners will need to know. Really great. So that is coming up on Monday, right? Give us the details on this.
Yep. Monday, May 5th, completely free to the public. No RSVP or registration necessary. Okay. Just show up to the museum. Starts at 6 o'clock.
Okay. Very good. A couple of other things that are going on in the month of May that we want to talk about. The first one, of course, is happening tomorrow. It's always the first Thursday of the month, the Brown Bag Lunch Lecture, and this is an interesting topic.
Yes, and first off, I have to say, can you believe tomorrow's May 1st? Because that snuck up on us. But our Brown Bag Lectures are sponsored by Eastman and Smith, and tomorrow we have Dr. Dwayne Beggs coming to present George Armstrong Custer and the Demise of the 7th Cavalry at the Battle of Little Bighorn.
Okay.
Did you know that George Armstrong Custer was born in Ohio?
I did not.
Now you do.
Now I know. Yeah. So there is a tie-in here with the Buckeye State. But we've all heard the basic story of George Custer. Mm-hmm. But I'm guessing that there's much more to it than what we were taught in elementary school.
Yes, I was talking to my other half last night, actually, and he said, I vaguely remember learning this in history class. And so we're excited to revisit.
All I really know about George Custer is that it didn't go well.
Correct.
Yep. It did not go well for Custer, although... I do know, and again, this is something that I kind of vaguely remember reading or learning in school, that he was a really well-respected military figure of the time. This was not the expected outcome of the Battle of Little Bighorn.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah. Really would be fascinating to learn the entire history, and that is tomorrow.
Tomorrow right? at noon.
Okay.
Yep, that is free for museum members and just regular admission for non-members, and the museum's open afterwards. So unless you have to head back to work, visit the museum.
There you go. And, of course, there is another classic movie night coming up here in a couple of weeks.
Yes, have you seen this movie? It's The Ghost and Mr. Chicken.
The Ghost and Mr. Chicken.
Yeah.
I cannot say that I have seen The Ghost and Mr. Chicken.
I haven't yet either, but okay. It's Friday, May 16th, so okay. I'll have a seat for you.
When was that? It says 1966.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this a comedy? Is it a musical? What is this?
You know, I was leaning on you because sci-fi, I have think? Not seen the movie yet.
Okay.
But I know
you
that
were assuming that I had.
Yeah, I was gonna rely on you to tell us about it, but
I
no,
have no idea.
It's starring Don Knotts and Joan Staley.
Oh well, even Scott Don Knotts in it, it's a comedy.
Yep,
it's a comedy. So, but that'll be fun. I can't think of anything that I've ever seen Don Knotts in that I haven't liked. So yeah,
then this is perfect. Friday, May 16th, 7 o'clock. Also completely free to the community.
Right, and usually again with the. With the classic movie nights, there's a little bit of a discussion and, you know, kind of taking people back to the era and all of that.
Exactly. So, and we work with students from BGSU this year, which allows us to bring more classic movie nights to Findlay, and they're going to provide the info.
Like The Ghost and Mr. Chicken. I want to know who came up with this movie. I want to, because I have never heard of this.
Yes.
I mean, I have never even heard of this, but... I guess that's why it's a classic. So that is coming up on May 16th. You've got the big annual meeting this evening.
Yes.
And I know one of the things that we want to talk about kind of in conjunction with that are memberships. Mm-hmm. We talk about this back at the beginning of the year. But you can really join the museum anytime.
Anytime. We have memberships at all different levels, as low as $35 for an entire year. So you mentioned the annual meeting tonight. All of our members were invited to that so we can celebrate a successful 2024. And I do think a lot of people don't realize that up to and sometimes more than 50% of our annual budget just to keep our lights on into all of our programs are specifically from the memberships and donations from our community. So it is incredibly important, but we also want to make sure to thank those members. I was telling you before we got started, too, we have some incredible events coming up this year, and we make sure that there's discounted tickets for our members, too. So we'll have a holiday historic homes tour later this year. We will have History with a Twist craft cocktail event in June, and all of those events even have a discounted rate for members. So this is actually a perfect time to sign up. And then also, if you can't ever make it to a brown bag lecture, we send out a video of those lectures to all of our members, too.
Okay. So there's all kinds of benefits, not the least of which is helping to preserve these stories for future generations.
Yes, we can't do it without you.
Yeah. So and with the discounts on the events, that's a nice little bonus with those coming up. This would be a good time to sign up. So how do people do that? How do people join?
Yeah, a couple different options. The easiest, you can go to HancockHistoricalMuseum.org. Okay. You can sign up right online, or you can come visit us or give us a call. We can give you all the details.
All right. Again, Sarah Foltz with the Hancock Historical Museum with us this morning, talking about things coming up in the month of May. And once again, that preservation assessment workshop is coming up on Monday. What is the time for
Monday
that?
Monday at 6 o'clock.
Okay. We've got a link on our webpage for more information about it. Sarah, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris.
Well, as we have mentioned several times, April is Financial Literacy Month. And when we're talking about finances, obviously, one of the biggest expenses that many families deal with is healthcare.
And it has become an even bigger part of the financial conversation for a lot of folks in recent years. Joining us this morning to share some tips and strategies to help you save is Dr. Rhonda Randall. She is Chief Medical Officer, United Healthcare Employer and Individual. This is something that I think everyone can certainly relate to. What tips can you offer to help folks navigate those rising healthcare costs?
Yeah, thank you for that question. You know, our financial health is important to our overall health, and we want to see people stay healthy. And the last thing we want to see is people avoiding healthcare due to cost. And a survey from America's Health Rankings last year told us that 11% of adults did avoid healthcare due to concerns around cost. So more and more people want a shopping experience. They want to understand healthcare similar to what we do in our everyday lives, right? Understanding what the cost is going to be up front before we engage with the healthcare system rather than after we've done it and now we have a bill. So more and more plans, including United Healthcare, have transparency tools. We have those on our mobile app and also on our website where you can find and price care and understand if you're going to have a baby or whatever that is going to, that healthcare journey is going to look like, what your likely out-of-pocket costs are going to be. But in addition to that, some employers are now offering much more modernized health plans that are a true shopping experience. Surest from United Healthcare, for example, eliminates those deductibles, and it's showing you in that app or online your choices of where to get your care and what your copay will be based on where you select to go get that care. So getting high quality care and knowing up front what your copay is going to be based on where you decided to get it. For example, an x-ray at two different locations can have a significant difference in cost. So people who enrolled in Surest are saving 50% on average on their out-of-pocket cost.
Now, again, those tools are only as good as those who will avail themselves of those tools. So, you know, that's why it's important to raise awareness, make people understand what they are and the fact that they do exist, perhaps in their healthcare plan. So important to make sure that you understand if that is a part of your plan. Also understand that there are more and more plans that include financial incentives. Explain what types of financial incentives we're talking about and how people can take advantage of those.
Yeah, United Healthcare, we want you to stay healthy. So you might be eligible based on your employer's coverage for something called United Healthcare Rewards. So engaging in those healthy activities can then earn you rewards that can be used for other wellness offerings like subscriptions to gym memberships, for example. Other employers may offer United Healthcare's Care Cash. And so where eligible employees there can get dollars loaded onto a prepaid debit card for doing things like taking a certain amount of steps every day or logging your sleep or getting your wellness checkup, for example, you can earn a couple hundred dollars a year based between an individual and a family that can then be used to pay for other healthcare expenses. So CareCash is a nice benefit if you're eligible for it.
In addition to medical visits themselves, there are other additional benefits that people can be taking advantage of in many plans as well, correct?
Yeah, think about things like dental, vision, and hearing benefits or supplemental health benefits like accident, critical illness, insurance protection can offer you peace of mind. Things like dental, vision, and hearing, a big promoter of that annual dental cleaning, for example, has great benefits for your overall health. And many dental plans are going to include that preventative care and oral cancer screenings, often at no additional out-of-pocket cost.
Again, the bottom line message is to make sure that you are aware of all of those benefits, the incentives, the tools that can help you manage the costs, the other benefits that are there aside from medical benefits. And just to circle back to one of the things that you mentioned at the very outset, and it is incredibly important that people don't skip those screenings, preventive care, and so on. Talk about why that is so important. Expand on that when it comes to saving money ultimately on the total healthcare cost.
Yeah, in addition to having healthy behaviors, it's also important for us to catch things early. So those preventative care visits with a primary care physician, I'm a family physician, I think this is really important. It's been proven to be true, is that when you're catching something earlier, you're getting those cancer screenings, you're getting the immunizations that are recommended, you're having things like your blood pressure and diabetes checked for and brought well under control.
Mm-hmm.
If you catch those things earlier, your experience is going to be better. Your out-of-pocket costs are going to be better if you catch something lower, if you catch something earlier. So if you don't have an established relationship with a primary care physician, we're here to help you find one.
So important that you don't skip those checkups, appointments, screenings, and so on. And that you don't skip the care that you need, because things rarely get less expensive the farther that you, the farther in that you go. Again, Dr. Rhonda Randall is a Chief Medical Officer, United Healthcare Employer and Individual. Where do we get more information?
Please go to UHC.com, and there you'll find all this information with some additional tips and resources. Again, that's UHC.com.
Dr. Randall, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Be well.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
Every now and then we'll have these stories in the news. You'll hear about somebody who has returned a long overdue book to a library somewhere. I think the longest I ever heard about is somebody who's like almost 100 years. Somebody had returned an old book that they had found in great granddad's attic or something and returned it to the library, whatever. But this is a little bit different. A twist on that story. In Davenport, Iowa, library staff were both intrigued and amused by the latest customer return. Someone anonymously dropped off six VHS tapes that were checked out from the library nearly 20 years ago. Staff at the library say that the returnee probably wanted to avoid two decades of significant fines. But the library stopped collecting fines and late fees years ago, so there really would have been no, you know, they didn't have to drop it off anonymously. And they're actually a little disappointed because they weren't able to identify who checked the movies out because they converted their card system to computers several years ago, about the same time that they stopped renting out VHS tapes. They don't do that anymore because nobody has a tape player, videotape player anymore. No word on whether the returned VHS tapes were rewound. Be kind, rewind. I don't know if they did, but at least the library has their VHS tapes back. What are we supposed to do with these things? Let's see. Elsewhere in the broken news, you remember yesterday we had the story of the Brinks truck that lost like $300,000. Where was that? I can't remember what city, and people were scooping it all up. This is not that, but it's more money on the road in Texas. I'm not sure exactly where in Texas this is. It's a big place, but in Texas, highway there had to be shut down yesterday after an 18-wheeler loaded with dimes overturned, spilling the contents all over the highway. Had piles and piles of dimes all over the highway. Footage from the scene showed some workers using vacuums to clean up all of the coinage. Coinage in this case. I don't know. They probably shut down the highway so that people couldn't abscond with the dimes. Can you imagine people scooping up handfuls of dimes? Those would be easy. Those people would be fairly easy to find, I would think. I mean, anybody with an inordinate number of dimes trying to pay for things or deposit them in the bank would have raised suspicion. So I think they recovered all the dimes, but there is no word on why in the world an 18-wheeler was carrying so much loose change. I mean, what in the world was there a cargo load of dimes for? What was that all about? We don't know. It is a mystery. In other broken news, the odd and unusual side of the headline, 24 people are now banned from Carnival Cruise Lines for life as part of a brawl at the port of Galveston, Texas over the weekend. The incident happened in the debarkation area where you leave the ship after your cruise. This particular area was under the authority of Customs and Border Patrol because you got to go through customs and international cruise. So this particular area where this brawl happened was under the authority of federal authorities, under the control of federal authorities. And apparently the incident involved pushing, shoving, punching. People were punching each other. One Chicago man was arrested for elder abuse after reportedly knocking down an older man who was trying to de-escalate the situation. It wasn't even part of the fight. He was trying to calm everybody down and got knocked down for his troubles. Man, I know that, you know, at the end of your trip, maybe it was a long trip, you're ready to get off the boat, but come on, man. That's shoving an older guy because he was trying to intervene, tell you to calm down. 24 people banned from Carnival Cruise Line as a result. A woman in Florida making the broken news after allegedly posing as an ICE agent to apprehend her ex-boyfriend's new wife. She posed as an immigration agent to apprehend her ex-boyfriend's wife. LaTrance Battle has been accused of showing up at the victim's home with a shirt that said ICE written on the front. So she what? She went and bought an ICE t-shirt and basically showed up at the woman's home. And the victim actually complied at first, but then quickly became suspicious when Ms. Battle took her to, not to a deportation or detention facility, but just to a random apartment complex. Yeah, that's not where they generally take you. Immigration is rounding you up. She then managed to flee and contacted actual authorities. Ms. Battle has been arrested and is now charged with kidnapping and impersonating a federal officer, among other charges. So she's the one that's going to jail. Wow. Tell you what. What is that saying? No fury like a woman scorned, I guess. And a couple of other items here in the broken news this morning. A seven-year-old Utah boy took the family car on a joyride and brought along his 5-year-old sister with him. Apparently, the kid drove 10 miles in the family car after convincing his sister that they should go to McDonald's. He wanted a Happy Meal and didn't have one at home. So let's go to McDonald's. 7-year-old and a 5-year-old. Police were able to stop the boy and no one was injured. And finally, in the broken news this morning, this is our viral story of the day, courtesy of TikTok. And Samantha White is the TikTok user who posts this. She claims that she was almost scammed at the drive-thru of her local coffee shop. So she's going through the drive-thru, And she was told by the cashier that the man in front of her had told employees that she would be paying for his drink. She posted about this online to the random guy in front of me at the drive-thru who lied to the employee and said, I would be paying for his order. I hope you have the day you deserve. While the employee, the cashier, did not make her pay for the extra beverage at the coffee shop, commenters were surprised that the cashier actually believed the guy. Usually, as one person joked, typically when you pay it forward, you offer to cover the cost of the food or beverage of the person behind you, not in front of you. Kind of shocked that employees would believe a paying it backward scenario. So, yeah, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, if that would work. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report. Update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. With that, we now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
This is Ed Glantz with OSU Extension. It's planting season. Drivers will be sharing roads with tractors and farm machinery. Be alert for slow-moving vehicles, especially on roads with limited visibility. Watch out for equipment pulling in and out of fields. Drivers and farmers, let's work together this spring to keep our roads safe and accident-free.
This message from WFIN and 95.5 FM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. This is the big spring real estate market. Home buyers getting excited for, you know, moving into a new home. It's always exciting to get a new home, right? There's nothing more exciting than, you know, taking a step up, getting a new home, moving to a new place, all of the possibilities. The actual process of moving, though, anything but exciting. A new study has found that only This new study has found that one in four Americans will try anything to get out of helping others move. This is a poll of 2,000 U.S. adults. 22% have wriggled out of helping others when asked, can you help me move? Now, one in four will find any excuse. 35% have faced the same from others when they were asking the help during their own moves. So if you've ever had that happen, where you ask folks to help you move, and they go, oh, I'd love to, but I can't. And I got to beg off. Yeah, you are not alone. More than a third in the survey, 38%, say they secretly hate being asked to help their friends or even their family move. We recently helped our son and daughter-in-law move into a new house. And yeah, it's not fun, but you know, it's something you have to do. 38%, though, secretly hate being asked. They can only entice help through payments of food and drinks. 38%, that'll get people to help you. 33% will actually pay people, their friends or family, to help them move. 17% say they repay someone for helping them move by returning the favor when the time comes. Obviously, many people describe moving as a stressful event. 60% say it's stressful. 53% describe moving as exhausting. And 33% say it's downright nerve-wracking. So much so that 57% admit that they have seriously reconsidered their moving ambitions due to how tiring of a process it can be. And again, here, I can relate to this. My wife and I have often talked. We got this big house that we had when the kids are growing up. They're, you know, up and gone and married off, families of their own now. And we don't need this big house. We could downsize, but then we'd have to go through and figure out what we keep, what we get rid of. We'd have to move all of our stuff. So, yeah, that is definitely one of the factors when you think about whether or not you're going to move. This survey was commissioned by Safeway Moving. and conducted by Talker Research. The study also found that 97% of people have moved at least once in their life. Only 3% still live in the place that they've grown up, in one place all of their life. So most of us have. People first ask their friends, then their siblings, then their significant others, and extended family members, in that order, for help, which is kind of interesting. You ask your sibling before your significant other, but presumably your significant other is also moving. So 4 in 5 will turn to their friends and family for help moving, citing their reasoning for not wanting to use professional movers. 54% say they don't have the budget to hire someone to move for them. 29% feel like they don't need professional help. And 17% have a lack of trust in professional movers. People said if they were using a professional moving company, they would worry about their items being broken, being overcharged by the moving company, and having items stolen or come up missing. The reasons why they don't trust moving companies, which is kind of interesting. And that was, again, here I can relate, but the last time we moved, I said, that'll be the last time we move and don't hire someone. You know, I've done it both ways, and it is a lot easier and a lot less nerve-wracking if you actually hire someone to do it for you. But anyway, just kind of interesting numbers on the number of people who will try anything to help getting out, or to get out of helping other people move into a new home. Very timely for this time of year. Well, one of the things that I love about the return of warm weather, it means that the car shows are back for another season. And the first to talk about this season, the Van Buren FFA's Car and Tractor Show, which is happening this weekend. We are joined this morning in the studio from the Van Buren FFA by Tyler Price, Brooke Ambush, and Camden Voland. Thank you very much for being with us, all three of you here today.
Yes, sir.
So how long has this been in the work? I know this is the third annual, so you kind of got an old hat at this by now, but when do you start planning and prepping for all of this?
We started planning and prepping everything since we're on the officer team. We started planning this in about July, I think.
Okay, yeah.
So we do like a big officer retreat. We get all of our officers together and plan out what we want our year to look like. And mm-hmm. this was like one of our main ones because it was like a big seller for our FFA to get out there. So we made sure to have car show come back.
So obviously it's been successful. I don't mean to put you on the spot. Do you recall how many entries you've had in years past?
So I think that our first year we had about 70 cars.
That's not bad.
And then last year we had a little over 100.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. Filled up almost the whole parking lot.
Yeah.
And then we might have to use the back parking lot this year because we're going to hopefully get a lot of cars.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what generally happens. These things tend to grow and grow and continue to get bigger every year. And it again, as we mentioned, it's not just cars, but tractors as well. You get a lot of classic tractors people come in?
Our ag teacher, her husband brought a tractor last year. And last year, me and my family brought our 13 horsepower Nichols and Shepard steam engine. So it's not really a tractor, but we brought that to show on our trailer.
that is a really cool thing. You don't see as often the classic tractors, but obviously given the FFA, it makes sense to bring that. It is more than just the vehicles, though. A lot of things are going on. You've got food and giveaways and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, so we have raffle baskets of different kind of things. So like we have a beach basket that you just put a ticket in and then you can win like a bunch of stuff for the beach.
Yeah.
And then we've got a bunch of food trucks coming. We've got Slippin' Sammy's, the Bucking Barista, Johnny Burritos, and then there's a donut truck. So I'm really excited for that.
And this will all be happening on Saturday, as we mentioned, right? Mm-hmm. When to win? Give us all of the details here, all of the specifics.
Okay, so cars and tractors who are planning to be like showing their vehicles. Mm-hmm. They can arrive at 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. to get all set up. We'll have people there helping direct where they will be at,
okay,
and how they'll set up their cars and tractors and put their trailers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they can come at 9, and then it opens to the general public at 10, and it'll end at 2, and cleanup will go till 3.
Okay. So, and there are a number of awards, understand, yes, too. So
there is best
motorcycle,
best tractor, best car.
Mm-hmm. Best truck, I think.
A truck one, I'm pretty sure. There's 15 different awards in total.
15 different awards. You don't have to go through the entire list. It's a lot to remember. But there are awards for the best in the show. And the proceeds then will be used for what?
All of the proceeds will go back to our FFA chapter. They will be used to help give the kids who won like free trips for selling like so many strawberries or so many fruit, like so much fruit, like for all of our different fundraiser events. It'll also help buy jackets, mm-hmm, lab supplies for both of our teachers. Mm-hmm. Shout out Miss McCoy and Miss Cunningham. And it'll just go to like a whole bunch of different things that we do, like, yeah, throughout our chapter.
Yeah. And talk a little bit about, for the benefit of those who are not involved and have not had kids involved in the FFA program in the past, what is the biggest thing? And I kind of go down the row for each of you. What's the biggest thing that you get out of the FFA program?
I think that the like sense of teamwork and like a community, mm-hmm, within the FFA is a huge part of it.
Yeah. And for you?
I mean, I've been in ag since eighth grade. So, I mean, I would say the friends and the leadership skills you develop, like I've like, wasn't like a very outgoing eighth grader, but now I can, like, if you sat me in front of a wall, I'd talk to it. Like, I just don't stop talking now.
I can see that. And I can see that. That's not a bad thing. Not a bad thing at all. Yeah.
Well, kind of the same as her. I was very, like, not a social, well, not social, but not, yeah, a talkative person. Mm-hmm. FFA's brought me into, like, talking. It also, we teach, like, really, good, like, general life skills.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, we have a food science class, you know, how to cook food,
mm-hmm,
vet science, ag mechanics, like, how to build stuff.
That,
yeah, just, like, normal life skills that, yeah, you won't get outside of FFA.
Now, obviously, FFA, back in the day, started as the Future Farmers of America. It's not known as that anymore. It's just FFA. But are you, each of you looking at careers in agriculture moving forward?
So I'm not, like, necessarily, like, I'm starting a photography business. Mm-hmm. But, like, I do see, like, going to fairs, taking livestock, sure, stock, mm-hmm, pictures for like people, that kind of
definitely
stuff.
Definitely agriculture related. One, yeah, of the reasons why it's just FFA and not just Future Farmers, because it's more than just farming in agriculture, yeah, these days. What about you, Brooke?
I'm not really planning on staying directly in the agricultural field for my future plans. I mean, I've been raised in the agricultural like lifestyle, mm-hmm, but I plan on being a high school math teacher.
Okay, very cool. And maybe you know, a few animals or something,
yeah,
on
maybe
the side. Sure,
yeah,
why not?
So, like, my career isn't going to be in FFA, but, like, I assume it's going to be my life because I show lambs, soon to show chickens, and I show rabbits right now. So, I know that my sister's planning on starting a, like, a sheep breeding business.
Yeah.
And I plan to maybe start one, too. So it won't be my career, but it'll be in my life for sure.
Yeah. Really terrific stuff. So the car and tractor show is happening on Saturday, right? Give us all of the details once again. Starts at for registration for entries is at 9, right?
Registration for entries start at 9, mm-hmm, open to the general public at 10.
Okay.
All awards will be distributed at noon.
Okay.
And then it ends at 2, cleanup's over at 3.
Very good. And what is the registration cost for those who want to enter a vehicle?
$10.
$10, and admission is free.
Yep, if
you want to come and gawk at all of the cars and, yes, the tractors and everything, and get obviously food and everything else, and the raffles and all of that to benefit the Van Buren FFA, and it's there at the school, right?
Yep.
Okay. All right, very good. We've got a link for more information at our webpage. You can go to goodmornings.net to get all of that info. And again, Tyler Price, Brooke Ambush, and Camden Voland with us this morning. Thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program, of course. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, and that is goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, among other things, members of the cast of the Fort Finley Playhouse will join us to preview their latest production, 9 to 5. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.